Okay, this week is Parashas Mitzora. Okay, the first item on the agenda. The name of the parasha is a very unusual name. If you study, there are 54 parashios. If you study the name of the 54 parashios, if I'm not mistaken, every single name is a pleasant name. Bereshis, Noyach, Lech Lecha, Vayera, Chayesara. Let's say Acharemos. So some people don't want to say, they don't call it Acharemos, they call it Achare. That might be an exception. After the death. Or you want to say it's not necessarily dead, it's after. It's not death, it's after death. After death is Olam Haba. So it's not necessarily a bad term, even if you have the full. I'm not sure. I didn't go through the 54 parashios, but if I'm not mistaken, all the names, all the parashios are all pleasant names. The only exception appears to be Mitzora. Mitzora is not a happy person. A Mitzora is not a happy camper. He is sent chutz l'sholosh machnos. A Mitzora is choshev kimeis. He sinned, he's moitzi shemra. So how could it be that the parasha is called Mitzora? So some want to suggest that in Achrami, we very rarely lay in Mitzora alone. Mitzora is normally lay in, so it's Tazria Mitzora. So since it's Tazria, Tazria is a good thing. Ishak is Tazria, Vel Zachar. So once we have Tazria, so it's not so terrible to go and append to it Mitzora. All right. But indeed, what I found, the reason, I don't have an answer.
They called the parasha also Tahara.
Oh, very good. That's what I wanted to bring out. That where did you see this?
An invitation to a bar mitzvah or something.
Parshas Tahara. Okay, I saw that also. So that's a very interesting thing that I saw in one sefer that some have the custom not to call this parsha by the name of Mitzora, but it's called Parshas Tahara. Because the purpose is Zosiataras Hamsabiyom Tohoro So on the day of his Tahara. It's an interesting idea where you take something which is unpleasant and you make it pleasant by changing its name. Okay, the next idea is a nice idea that comes from Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab asks a simple question: Zos yatorah samsabiyam torahso v'yotzo hakoyhein omichutz lamachane v'roakin v'yinei nirpa nega hatzaras min hatzarua. Why do we define? Excuse me.
I'm looking at something here, and they call it parsha zos tiyeh.
Aha, Zosti, okay. So you see where it comes from. It all comes from this problem that it's not proper to call it Parsha by the bad omen. Okay. But we have over here the Mitzora, V'hinei nirpa nega hatzaras min hatzarua. The nega hatzaras has been healed from the leper, the tzarua. Seemingly, the pasuk should say, V'hinei nirpa hatzarua. Why does the pasuk say that the tzaras has been healed, but he's still called a tzarua? The only reason why he is a mitzora is because of the negat tzaras. Once the negat tzaras has dissipated, he's no longer a tzarua. So seemingly it would be more proper to say v'yotzal koydom mechutz machne v'roach v'nei nirpa hatzarua. Or nirpa negahat saras. What's this double expression? The negat saras has been healed from the person who is a tsarua. If there's no negat saras, you're not a tsarua. What's the repetition? Rav Schwab explains a very powerful, he says a very powerful chiddush. We find in modern times a disease called leprosy. And we find in Tanakh, we find also this saras, naman, the haftarah. The arba anashim hayu mitzoram, the four men that were mitzoram. According to some opinions, not everyone was Jewish. Naaman was Naaman Jewish? No, he wasn't Jewish. So is it shaykh for a person that's not Jewish to become have tzaras? Tzaras, l'chore, you have to be a baal madrega to be zoich to have tzaras. It's not something which comes. What?
He's a VIP.
Okay, that's an idea. You want to say that in ancient times, world leaders, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bilam. Bilam had prophecy. Yeah, it's a serious matter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to Bilam. How do we understand that? A person who was not exactly a very holy person. In Achanami, a VIP, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings upon them spiritual ailments. But Rav Schwab wants to suggest is that there are two different diseases. It's a disease called leprosy, and leprosy has nothing to do with the spiritual disease called tzaras. And he explains as follows. This is his thesis. A person, tzaras, is very similar to the disease that's known in the world called leprosy. They both have a skin discoloration, the skin sheds itself, there are striking similarities. The only difference is one is spiritual and one is physical. And Rav Schwab explains that the derech was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never brought upon a person the spiritual tzaras unless he first was a recipient with the physical tzaras. So when we have in Tanakh, we have Naaman, and we have other references of people, Gehazi, and we have Uzziyahu, and it says that they had tzaras, it does not necessarily mean that they had the spiritual tzaras. They had a physical form of tzaras, what we call today leprosy, or something that's very similar. It's a very dangerous disease, it's a very painful disease, and it's very contagious. And just like with regard to the spiritual tzaras, the halach is a person has to be sent, likewise, we all know that with regard to the physical leprosy, it's contagious, a person must be quarantined. We all know today, Rahman al-Sultan, all these new types of diseases, different viruses, and people have to be quarantined. No one should catch this disease. So Schwab suggests a very powerful chiddush, that when a person, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to bring upon a person tzaras, to indicate that he has a defect in his neshama, Hashem wouldn't just bring it upon him in one shot. Hashem would go slow. Let me give you an example. We know that there's nigei batin, nigei begadim, and nigei adam. And Chazal very clearly said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings saras to a person that comes in stages. First, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings saras to the bias. And if the person doesn't wake up, then Hashem brings it a little bit closer to home. It brings saras to the begadim. If he doesn't wake up, then Hashem brings the saras upon the guf. There are stages. Even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings tzaras on the guf, Hashem does not bring tzaras on the guf immediately. Hashem first brings upon him leprosy. And the person is quarantined because it's dangerous. If a person doesn't view that as a wake-up call to do tshuva, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings upon him something even more serious, the spiritual form of leprosy called tzaras, which would require a greater degree of isolation with a very complex series of korbanos involving the Kohen and involving many different types, many different procedures and different things. And therefore Rav Schwab says that's why it's meduik in the pasuk. Here we have, and let's go backwards. What happens when a person is healed? After, let's say the person goes through all these stages. First the bais, then the garments, then the person gets leprosy, physical tzaras, and then it's not, he still doesn't wake up from his problems. And then Hashem brings upon him, on the leprosy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the spiritual tzaras. And now finally he wakes up, the Kohen declares him Tameh, they send him Chutz L'machneh, Gimel Machneis, and they go through a process of spiritual rehabilitation. And now, how is he healed? The healing is also in stages. Hashem first takes away the spiritual leprosy. But after the spiritual leprosy has been taken away, he's still afflicted with the physical leprosy. So that's what Rav Schwab says, very meduik in the pasuk. The roh hakohen v'hinei nirpa nega hatzorahas min hatzorua. The person is still a tzorua. There are two stages. Rav Schwab says, it never happens a person gets tzaras alone, spiritual tzaras. The spiritual tzaras comes after you received leprosy, physical tzaras. Just like it comes upon a person in this order, it goes away from a person in this order. So here, when they're describing the process of healing, the spiritual ailment goes away. Vihine, behold, nirpa, the nega hatzaras, min, from the person that is still afflicted with the tsarua, he's still a tsaru, he's still a person that has leprosy. That will come later in time. Now with this idea, I think go a little step further, where I probably can understand why the person has to bring two birds. It's a very strange concept. You have two birds. One bird is slaughtered, and one bird is sent free. But not before you take that bird and you dip it in the blood of the dead bird, and then you send it free. Why are there two birds? One bird dying, one bird being set free. So most of the Baal Musar explain, because Saras comes from Lashon Hara, And when it comes to Lashon Hara, there are two aspects to the Koyach HaDibur. There are times when a person should not speak, and there are times when a person should speak. So birds, they chirp, birds make a lot of noise, birds talk a lot. One bird is slaughtered to indicate there are things that should not have been said, but that we don't want to give you the wrong message that you should take a muzzle, put it on your mouth, and not speak. A person should speak. It's a very good thing to speak, to engage in conversation. It's just that you have to say the right things. So one bird is slaughtered, but to counteract the message that we giving the person that he should not speak, we send away another bird, alpanei hasada, that you should learn to speak, just speak properly. But if you take this idea of Rav Schwab and you connect it to the two birds, perhaps the message is that when the spiritual ailment is taken away, we can be certain that the physical ailment will also disappear, will go away. Let me just take a step back. When we misfal for a chol to have refuah shleim, what is the nusach tefila? V'yishlach lahem in hashemayim refuas hanefesh or refuas haguf. We ask for a double refuah, a refuah of the neshama and the refuah of the, what is the ikar ailment a person suffers? It's the neshama. Whenever a person has a physical manifestation of illness, it's because we have emunah, there's something spiritually wrong. If a person will take care of the spiritual problem, mimela, the guf will restore itself to its natural state. So when there's a refuas hanefesh, mimela, there will be a refuas haguf. That's exactly what's happening with tsaras. Tsaras is the prototype. It is the illness, the mashal for all sicknesses. Tsaras begins with a physical ailment.
So someone has tsaras, he's going to a kohen who's going to look, and he may see the disease leprosy.
Well, he's not going to go to the kohen until he sees the spiritual aspect of the leprosy. According to Rav Schwab, a person first comes down with leprosy. Leprosy goes to a doctor. Goes to a medical doctor. The medical doctor says to him, "I'm bad news, you have leprosy. We have to quarantine you. We put you away." Then the doctor comes back a week later and says, "You know something? You have leprosy, but there's something else. On top of this leprosy, there's another discoloration which I can't explain according to medical science. Maybe you should consult with your rabbi." And the rabbi says, "That's right. In addition to the leprosy that the doctor has taken note of, you have a spiritual ailment called spiritual leprosy. And therefore, you're in even more trouble. Instead of quarantining you in the hospital here in the city, we have to take you to a hospital outside of Chus L'Gimel Machanos. And you go out there for a long period of time. And then after a long period of time, the kohen comes back and says, good news, the spiritual leprosy has departed. You've done tshuva. Since the spiritual leprosy has done tshuva, so now, v'nirpa nega hatsaras min hatsarua. But you're still, the medical doctor still says you can't come back home because you still have this thing called leprosy. But we can be certain, now that the spiritual ailment has dissipated, there's a refuas hanefesh. Once the refuas hanefesh, the neshama has been healed, now we can have faith that there will be very soon refuas haguf. And that's why you slaughter the two birds. The bird that you slaughter, the bird that represents the choyli hanefesh. And once we slaughter the choyli hanefesh, we remove the choyli hanefesh, then the mela, the second bird, can be sent al pnei hasadeh, that we can have faith will very quickly go away. Because the root of the physical illness is the spiritual illness. This is an idea that Rav Schwab, I think it was a very powerful idea.
Sometimes you say karbonos, it should happen to me, I should have been...
That's the Rabban idea.
The first sikor...
What happened to me, spiritual, the first hanefesh,
is the
guf. The guf memelo now goes free. Okay, Nechan. I should be the first one. Okay, Nechan. Okay, let's go to another idea. There are the part of the process of the birds is to take three items. We take the bird, and we attach to the bird eitz eres, a piece of cedar wood, an ezoif, a hyssop, and we tie the hyssop to the ezoif with a shnita las, with a piece of wool that has been dyed in, we'll assume it means in the blood of a worm. A toilas is a worm. There are different opinions, either it's a worm or it's an herb. We'll assume for a moment it's a worm. And we'll dip the living bird in the blood of the dead bird, and we will sprinkle it, and then the person, upon the person, then the bird will be set free. So the Rashi tells us, why do we have to have these three items? The eighth is a piece of cedar, and a piece of hyssop, and a piece of worm. Rashi says, ezoiv represents gaiva. The cedar is the tallest of all the trees. the ezoiv is hyssop. This is the smallest piece of object of vegetation that grows in the field. A tailas, a worm, is a creature. Worm is the lowest creature in this world. It's a worm. It's something which is disgusting, which is detestable. Two of these three items represent humility. The Erez represents gaiva. The reason why a person suffers saras because he was a bal gaiva, the message is, humble yourself. Go from a person who is a bal gaiva to a creature that is like the ezoif and the toilas. Each one has a maila in humility. The toilas is, there are two different types. One is a living creature, which is humble, and one is a tzameach, something which grows in the ground, which also represents humility. So the Bali Musar asks a question, why do we have to have two items of humility? If the message is to go from a state of gaia, from the eres, to a state of humility, why would it not be sufficient just to be compared to one of the two, the ezev or the toilas? So I just thought this acute word is says in the Medrash and in Perkei Avos, me'od me'od have shval ruach. Double expression, doubly. Me'od me'od. You have to go to the double. The degree of humility has to be double the degree of the gaiva. When a person finds that he's in a state of gaiva, me'od me'od. The remez is from the matzav of the mitzvah where he needs two. It's not enough to use one object. You have to use two objects to come to a state of humility. This is what it says in the Baal HaMusar. Okay, let's go to another idea. Quick idea. We have a very famous medrash. The medrash says that there was a rochel, a peddler, that was going around in the street and said, Miho ish hechofetz chayim. Rabbi Yanai saw this peddler and he said, what do you got? What are you selling? Oh, he said to Rabbi Yanai, you don't need this. It's not for you. Until he persuaded him and he opened up a Tehillim and he showed him the Pasuk. This is the famous from this Medrash, the Medrash Rabbah, and this week's Parasha is where the Chofetz Chaim got his name of the Sefer and his name of Nehu. He became the Chofetz, he's called the Chofetz Chaim pretty much based upon this Medrash. So all the Farshim is, what's going on over here? Rabbi Yanai says, until my whole life I didn't understand this Pasuk, and all of a sudden now the Peller taught me this concept of, if you guard yourself from Lashon Hara, Mirush Chofetz Chaim, and it's all Lashon Chameira, Usfotzach HaMidabimimimimimim, you'll be safe. What is the deeper meaning of this Medrash? I saw from Rav Schwab, it's something very interesting. The Chiddush that he learned from this person is that the reward for not speaking Lashon Hara is immediate. We have a tradition, we're learning Eoiv, Schar B'Hayal Moleka. Person can do mitzvahs, and it can take many years to receive there's no reward in this world, but at least the peros. Eilu dvarm shadam ochel perosein b'olam hazev yakeren kayemes l'olam haba. There is some degree of reward in this world, but the reward in this world is not immediate. It can take years. It can take decades. It can take another Gilgul HaNeshama to receive your reward. It doesn't happen right away. However, what Rabbi Yanai learned from this person, according to Rav Schwab, is that the reward for not speaking Lashon Hara is immediate, because it was a peddler. What's the difference between a chenvini and a roichel? In the world of business, you don't have to pay right away. You can receive merchandise and you can pay the schar 30 days, 60 days, a year. Maybe you'll have to pay a ribbis. You'll have to have a heteriska. In the world of business, very rarely do you pay immediately for goods, for services. There's a system. When you pay, ein tzchiris mishlemes el b'soif, a poyal, this credit. This is a major principle in commerce. But a roichel, a peddler, no such thing. A peddler is here today, he's gone tomorrow. It's a cash-only business. You want to buy something from the roichel, the peddler, you pay cash now, I'll give it to you now, if you give me the reward, you give me the sochar immediately. The roichel was peddling sam hachayim. The Sam HaChayim is Mi Ho Ish HaChofet in the Tzor L'Shoncha Meiro Usif HaSecha Midaber Mirma. It was a Roichel. The message in Rav Schwab's understanding is the reward for not speaking Lashon Hara is immediate. It comes immediately. If a person has an Nisayon, Should he speak Lashon Hara? And he holds himself back, refrains from speaking Lashon Hara. Either you can say Al Derech Drush, that itself, the satisfaction of not speaking Lashon Hara, or the game that there's a lack of Machlekes, in itself is the reward. Or you want to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant you a special gift, L'malo Miderech HaTeva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to cause that you have a bonus in your business, or you'll win the lottery. But the point is, the schar v'oinish of Lashon Hara is a roichel, like a peddler, where there's no such thing as credit, there's no such thing as loans, it's now here on the spot. And that very much is an issue that explains why we have this idea called tsaras. We know that the Ramban says that there are two things in the Torah that are lemala miderech hateva, the parish of Sota and the parish of tsaras. And in fact, these two things, they spell nes. Negoyim, the parsha of Negoyim is a miracle. It's l'mal l'miderech hateva that a person, for speaking Lashon Hara, should suddenly have the maref tsaras. And the sota is of a woman who's unfaithful, and the Kohen gives her to drink the Meham Arim, she either dies or receives bracha. Negoyim is nun, sota is samach, nes. Why? These things are l'mal l'miderech hateva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing us that the koach hadibur, things that relate to speech, are lemala. Hashem will guarantee reward to be paid in this world immediately. It's lemala miderech hateva, does not require any delay, and that idea of Schwab says is hidden in the fact that it comes from the idea of a roich. So let's go to another idea. We have the nigei batim. With regard to the nigei batim, the pasuk says the kohen will arrive on the scene, and he will inspect the house. Okay, let me find the pasuk. V'tzivah ha'kohen lifnei ha'sabayis. B'terem yavoy ha'kohen liros ha'sanega. V'lo yitma kol asher b'bayis. V'achar kein yavoy ha'kohen liros ha'sabayis. Here is the question. Person suspects there's something wrong. There's a nega and there's bias. He calls the kohen. Kohen says, okay, I'm coming, but before I come, just in case I make a decision which is not to your benefit, clean out the house. Because if I walk into your house and I determine that indeed there is a nega, I will declare the bayis tamei, and everything will be contaminated, so you might as well be to your advantage to clean out the house. They clean out the house, the kohen walks in and he takes a look at the nega, and he decides if it's tamei or tahar. But there's an inconsistency in the pasuk. Pasuk begins with Tziva HaKohen Lepinu HaSabayis. Before Yavo HaKohen Liros to see as HaNega. Before he looks at the Nega. V'lo Yitmo Kol Asher B'Bayis. Now they've cleaned out the house. The Achar Kein, Yavo HaKohen, he will enter. Liros, now you finish the pasuk. How would you write the pasuk? If you were writing the pasuk, Liros es HaNega. Isn't that how you would finish the pasuk to be consistent? The Kohen that gives instructions, clean out the bayis before I see the nega. And now, oh, you've cleaned out the nega? Okay, we can now make an inspection. Liros es habayis? Liros es hanega. It's a very powerful limud musar in this pasuk. If a Kohen, a spiritual guide, a spiritual leader, gets a report that there's a problem, he hears that a person has done an avera. So they tell him, you better come quick and talk to the perpetrator, talk to the chote, to the sinner, and counsel him. That's not his job. When a spiritual guide, a leader, comes and speaks and is made aware that a sin was committed, it's too late to deal with the sin. The sin is just a symptom. A reason when a person commits an aver, when an aver was committed, it's because there's an illness. There's something wrong. When we hear a report that something bad has happened, it's too late already. Okay, so just we'll make safeguards. We'll make safeguards. It shouldn't happen again. But a doctor is not advised to treat the symptoms. A doctor's mission, a doctor's role is to treat the illness, the disease. When you treat the disease, mela, the illness goes away. That's exactly what the Musar Haskel here of this pasuk is. The Kohen is told, there's a nega. There's a nega. Oh, there's a nega. You have to come to the bayit to go look at the nega. You got to come look at the nega. Okay, I'm going to come look at the nega. But before I come look at the nega, clean out the bayis. Now when the Kohen arrives on the scene, he doesn't look at the nega. I mean, he looks at the nega, of course, al pi halacha, but he looks at the bayis. The bayis is the environment. It is the illness. I know, I'm aware there's a nega, and we're going to deal with the nega, but I'm not just here to deal with the specific problem. Let's look at what's going on in this family. What's causing the nega? Obviously, there's a spiritual problem in this bias. There are things that are not proper. We have to deal with this, with the illness, not with the problem. It's a very powerful limud hamusar. I remember a year ago, there was a whole thing with the rabbanim. They made a protest that a certain event should not take place. Certain event, it's not a Tardika event. And then there was another Rav, and they made a big machah that this event should not occur. And there was another Rav that said that he was arguing with the other Rabban, and he says, it's not the issue. The issue is not the event. The event is just, you're right, the event is not a good event. But that's what, you're going to ban the event. So there'll be another event. You're dealing with the nega. You're not devote all of your effort to deal. You're dealing with the symptom. What if you want to go, you want to exert yourself and make a macha and find a solution? Don't focus on the event. Focus on why this event happened. It's because there are much bigger problems in the community. And when you'll solve the bigger problems in the community, in Mela, there won't be such events taking place. Don't look at the nega. Look at the bias. This is a powerful limud musaf that we learn from this pasuk. Okay, now there's another. They're inspecting the bayis upstairs. Now there's another. Okay, now let's go to. There's a fascinating sipurno.
They're looking at the bayis.
Okay, there is a sipurno. The sipurno says v'tziva hakohen. The coin will go, let me go a pasuk back. A person has a bias. He will make it known to the coin saying, Kinega nearly bias. So in modern day, what would you do to modern times? You call up on the telephone, you call 911. You see a nega? Huh? There's a nega on the bias? Right? 911. We have an emergency. What's your address? Okay, coin's on the way. So while the Kohen's on the way, the operator or the Kohen right away, while he's being dispatched, he gets on the phone, he says, I'm coming, I'll be there in one moment, but before I come, clean out the house. Let me read you what it says in this Sipurno. Don't tell me there's no Sipurno in this edition. Can't be. It can't be Gesundheit. I couldn't find the other edition. Maybe it's in the back. How could it be there's no Sipurno in this edition? Can't be. They have the Gur Aryeh and they don't have a Sipurno? They really don't have it. It's shocking. Okay, so I'll tell you outside from memory. The Sipurno says, you know, I looked down, it's not on the shelf. I came in and it wasn't on the shelf, this the Megos Gedolos. But the Sipurno says, you look it up later on. The reason why you clean out the bias is a delay tactic. Time. Before the coin walks in, we want there to be a delay. Why? The Sipurno says to give the balabias and the Kohen time to pray, to be mispala. Fascinating. Two things you learn from this Sipur. Number one, we are accustomed, we are in the impression that tefillah is a long-term process. A person needs a lot of time to be mispalo. Even years in advance, days in advance, months in advance, a person has to spend a lot of time to be mispalo in advance that events should not occur or should occur. Here we're dealing here with a few moments. The Kohen is on the way. This is Sipurno?
Yeah.
Okay, Asher Koyach. So this is Perik Yudalid. Okay, we'll see. Okay, Lupinu es habayis b'term. They will clean out the pasuk lamed vav. Lupinu es habayis b'term yavo. V'lo yavo koydim lochein. Ubein kach. During this period of time, when they're cleaning out the house, it's nothing more than a delay tactic. Yiyeh zman tshuva utfila. It's a zman of tshuva and tfila la ba'olim for the owner of the bayis. Uzman tfila la koyhein. Fascinating thing it says here. That the reason why the Torah wants you to spend time cleaning out the bayis is to give a short period of time to the Kohen and to the Ba'olim to pray, that when the Kohen comes into the house, by that time the Nega should go away, and we should not need to go through this long process of declaring the bayis Tamei. What do you learn from that? You learn from that that the Kohen, so the Baal Musar, I saw this word in one of the Baal Sefer, that's the Miuchat of Tzila, that even during a short period of time that it takes to clean out the house, a person can accomplish with this tefillah amazing things. A person should never underestimate the koyach tefillah. Think, I'm a mispal, it's just a few minutes, it's just a few seconds, a short tefillah. Who says my short tefillah could have any effect? Look what the Torah here says. Clean out the bayis to give the people a few moments, the Kohen and the Balaba and the owner, a few moments to concentrate on tefillah, and maybe through that tefillah, things will have a better outcome. We learn here a very fascinating thing of how what a person can do, how far the Koyach tefillah goes.
See, even the Kohen has to be responsible. And
also, that's also the second limud, is that it's not, the Kohen also is an active partner. It's an active partner in this process. It's not to the Kohen's benefit that someone else should have to suffer where his house is demolished. We also want the Kohen to be mispal for the toiva of the person. Okay, so I wanted to point out that that's the point. So let's go to another idea. Question: we have here a pasuk. The pasuk says that if you find in the bayis a nega, you have to take the two birds. The same way, the same requirement we have for taking two birds when a person is a mitzara, the same exact thing we find with regard to the bayis. If the bayis is discovered to be have tzaras, we demolish the bayis, and we take two birds. One bird is slaughtered. The second bird is dipped in the blood of the first bird together with an eitz erez, eitz of shnei talas, and the blood is sprinkled, and the blood is sent away. And the pasuk concludes, when you'll do this, this will be a kapara. Okay, the tziva hakoyin, the shlichu esen, the nosatz, the sabayis, let me just jump ahead, the imboyov hakoyin vira, okay, the shachal es hatzipor hayachos, and the pasuk includes, the shilach es hatzipor hachayal michutz lo'ir, opnei hasodeh, his last words of the parasha, v'chiper al habayis v'toher. And through going through this process, the bayis will achieve atonement. Question is, why in the world does the bayis need kapara? The bayis is a doinim. Bishlam, when it comes to a person who's a mitzora, you have a negat saras, person is a chote, he spoke lashon hara, he did different averos for which he needs kapara. So we understand why he has to go through this complex process of the birds, because the person needs kapara. But if we find there to be a nega in the bayis, and according to Rashi, Rashi learns that it's good news. It's a besoira toiva. You come there, it's Canaan. The reason why Kosh Baruch Hu is going to bring a neg upon the bayis, in order that you should demolish the bayis, and you should find the matmoin, you should find the church that's hidden away. It's a good thing. So why then does the pasuk conclude by telling us that even though you found the nega in the bayis, you demolished the bayis, and the person went out scot-free, and the person became a multimillionaire through this process, but the bayis needs kapara. V'chiper es habayis. Why does the bayis need kapara? The bayis is not a living creature. The bayis, the daimon, does not have bechira chafshis. So I asked this to someone, and he told me, you have to say, it's a very good kasha, the bayis doesn't need kapara. You have to say the bayis here is to be interpreted loosely as the mishpacha. Like you have Chazal say, ein beisai ela ishtai. Bayis does not actually mean the stones, because the stones are not a Baal Bechira, they have not committed any Avera. It means the fact of Moshe, really, where Moshe says that, the Rav Moshe points this out, that even though it says here, Rashi says that it's good news. It's good news that you find the nega in the bayis in order to require you to demolish the bayis to find the matmon, but it still came about through a nega. So there's also a degree. There's also a degree of sin. It's a mix. It's a good news, but it's good news mixed with a rude awakening that a person has something wrong in his life. He's a sinner. And we know, right? We have a chazal that say that when the person, when it's a very embarrassing process. When the kohen comes, you have to clean out all of your appliances. Everything has to go out into the street. You have to take out the television. You have to take out kol davar asar has to be put in the street, and everyone comes out looking at you. I had this own experience not so long ago. It really, really, I'll tell you the story. That's how I interpreted the story. I was at home. And someone, they come collecting about every 5 seconds. The doorbell rings, they come collecting. So, alright, so if I can, I open up the door and I give them a dollar. I don't have big money to give. So, guy came, rang the bell, and I don't know, I didn't hear the bell right away, and I heard the bell, I came down, and as I came down, I already saw that he walked away. He was walking away. So I said, good. I said, good, Baruch Hashem, I didn't have to take him into the house. I felt guilty. I said, but listen, I'm very tired. I was working at the time, and I was very tired. And so, all right, listen, I can't go every single second. This is my son, Michal Yom. What could I do? It wasn't more than an hour later, I smelled gas in the house. So I didn't know what to do. I was a little bit concerned. So I called 311, and I just asked them very innocently, what should I do? Because I remember years ago, we had the same thing. We called the gas company. They came like the next day to a test. So the 311 operator says, oh, you smell gas. That means this is an emergency. We're calling the fire department. I said, no. Look, before I turned around, the two trucks came with the sirens, and the whole block came out to watch. And I said to myself, if I would have let the poor man into the house and give him a dollar, maybe I wouldn't have to go through the bizionos with the whole fire department. The whole fire department has to come into the house and they're all watching. That's really exactly what Chazal's saying. It's in a similar fashion. But you didn't want to give a person to give it. Someone asks you a favor, can I borrow a hammer? I don't have a hammer. Sorry, no hammer. Now there's a nega at Saras. Oh, finu es habayis from Temyava Akoy Liros is a nega. So now the hammer is in the street. Clean out the house. The hammer, your toolkit, everything that you own has to be taken out into the street. The whole block will come and watch. They'll see all the, oh, you talk, I have a hammer, you liar. It's a form of embarrassment. But on the other hand, by putting out all of your utensils in the street, they discover there's a nega. They demolish the house, and they discover underneath the house $1 million, jewels, treasures. You become a multimillionaire. I found nothing. So Rav Moshe says that it's both. That this represents the complex nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do one action, and that one action there can be a reward and a punishment.
You found something. You found a good marshal for you.
Oh, I found for the shear. Okay. So it's a powerful that in one action there can be a blend of both a reward and a punishment. That's the kapara. So therefore, even though it's true you did find the matmon, but the point is you did in the process also have a nega, and the nega represents that a person is a sinner. There is something wrong with the person. He did need to go through some process, some inconvenience of having a kohen come to his house, an inspection. It's very unpleasant. That itself is the kapara, and you did kapara for chibras habayis. The bayis does not necessarily mean the physical stones and bricks. It means the mishpacha. It means the environment. It means you. It's the euphemism that you need kapar. Okay, that's now. If you really want to go on to Yoni Kabbalah, I saw this, I just found it very interesting, is that the nega and the bias is a Gilgul Neshama. Is that a person that is a sinner, speaks Lashon Hara? We all know there are such concepts. A person comes back in multiple times in this world as animals. Is there such a concept that a person can come back as a stone? Half live a fella. A neshama can come back into this world as a stone, and that stone has a nega, and now when they demolish the bias, they take the nega away, that is, and they send the birds, it's a kapara in a chanami for that neshama that lies in the stone. These are Yoni Kabbalah. However, I want to say, However, but there is another Dvar Musar that I want to bring out, that the bias does need kapara. Why does the bias need kapara? Because the bias participated in hiding from this world the matmon. What is lashon hara? Let's go back to the basics. So, what is lashon hara? Lashon hara is a secret. There are two different types of nigam. There's nigay batim and there are nigay adam, both of which require the tzipirim. One tzipar is sent away and one tzipar is slaughtered. What is lashon hara? Lashon hara is the secret. I know that so and so has done a crime, has done an avera. It's no one's business. This is a hidden matter. It's between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, him and his family. It's hidden. The Torah says, don't reveal this information. It's information, it's not pleasant, it's no one's business. Keep it secret. What have you done by speaking Lashon Hara? You've taken a matter that is hidden, that is concealed, and you have revealed it to the entire world. Everyone now knows that so-and-so did this and this. Everyone knows this information. What's the opposite of Lashon Hara? Is where there's a hidden treasure, the world is starving, like the Haftarah, people are starving, and there is food available to feed the masses, but I'm not going to tell anyone. I'm not going to reveal the treasure. Let everyone starve to death. But right over here, there's food, there's enough food to feed everyone to survive. I want to deny this good. I want the secret to remain a secret and deny the good. They're two opposite extremes. They're two opposites. And that's why one bird is slaughtered, one bird is sent away. We do the same exact procedure for the bias and for the Adam. Adam receives, gets saras because he spoke Lashon Hara. He revealed secrets. A bias requires birds, because the bias, it's a Musar Haskel for us. The bias needs kapara. Not that physical stones need kapara. It's a Musar Haskel for a human being. This structure participated, it was used as a means of hiding a treasure from the world, from the Hamaynan. Inside this, buried underneath the bayis, was a treasure, which the Balabatim could have derived enormous benefit. And this structure concealed that treasure. That is a sin. A person observes someone hiding, being moinea, toiva, mibolov, denying good from its owner, that's sinful. And therefore, the bayis needs kapara. Now when the bayis has saras, and the bayis has to be demolished, and we find the treasure, that's right, this bayis needs atonement. It doesn't mean that the bayis needs atonement, it's a domain. But we as human beings look at the bayis and we say to ourselves, and we say, we should not follow in the way of this structure, which was moineya toiva mibolov, denied good from its owner. So the bottom line is, the summary of this idea is, we have two different types of tzaras which have exactly the same form of atonement, sending away the birds. Obviously there's a relationship between the two. By Nigi Adam, the person needs kapara. The bias needs kapara. What's the connection? The connection is Lashon Hara and Nigi Batim are the two extremes. They both represent revealing things which are concealed. Sometimes it's not good to reveal something which is concealed because it's harmful for the people. Sometimes it's something which is concealed which it's a sin for it to be concealed. It should be revealed so that people can benefit. These are the two extremes. You have to find the right balance. Sometimes you have to reveal. Sometimes you don't have to reveal. And when a person abuses, person does not follow the proper derech, then there has to be atonement. Atonement for the bayis, atonement for the person, and they're both done in the same technique to remind us of the extremes. One bird goes free, we reveal it, we send it out to the world, we let it go, and one has to be silenced, has to be killed, has to be slaughtered. Okay, another vart, another short vart. We have in the process of the Taras HaMetzora two applications. Application of blood and application of shemen. We take the blood of the Asher, we put it on the ear, on the finger, and on the toe. And then we take shemen. And the shemen goes on the same locations, the ear, the thumb, and the toe, but there's something different. In addition, we take the shemen and we pour it, the leftover oil, we pour it on the person's head. So that means, shemen is applied to four parts of the body, and blood is only applied to three parts of the body. So I saw it in a sefer, I think by Rav Aaron Perlow, Sefer, he says that why are there three and four? We find the idea of three and four by a Ovel. An Ovel mourns for the Nes for 7 days. There's a difference in halacha between the first 3 days and the last 4 days. The first 3 days are called lebechi, for crying, and the last 4 days are hesped. What's the difference between crying and hesped? Crying, we focus on the loss of the person. The next 3 days is hesped, is the honor of the person, which primarily giving honor to the person makes the family, it's yukar dechaye, is a covet for the living. Look where they come from, they're mourning over a person, they're connected to a person that was a very great person. So there's three and four. And the Bali Musar take note that four is greater than three. We have a principle in halacha and musar that when you give a person musar, you always have to give him a compliment. That l'olam doicha b'smol v'kare v'yamin. You push a person with the left, but at the same time you push him with the left hand, you bring him close with the right. Which of the two hands is stronger? The left is weaker, and the right is stronger. For every push you give with the left, a weak push, you have to have a stronger pull with the right. The right is stronger than the left. There has to be more kavod than there is criticism. When a person dies, there is bechi, and there is hesped. Bechi is loss. Hesped is kavod. The bechi is only three. It's only three. The hesped is four. The honor, the greatness of the person that we focus on is greater than this that we focus on the loss, on the death, on the suffering, on what is lacking. You have to always give more honor to good than bad. You have the same exact thing when it comes to the Mitzvah. Mitzvah is choshev kines. A Mitzvah is like a dead person. A Mitzvah has committed an Avera, he deserves to die. He's gone through rehabilitation. In the rehabilitation process, at the end of the process, when you bring the kabbonis, what do you do to the person? You put on him two things, blood and oil. Blood represents death. The end. That's what blood is all about. You bring carbon, you saw the carbon, the animal dies. Oil, consistently throughout Chazal, represents kavod, honor. Shemen hamishcha. Esther, shisha chodoshim b'shemen hamar, v'shisha chodoshim b'absam. Oil represents to feel good. It's something which it's an enhancement. It's a tainuk for the guf, for the person. When the Mitzvah finishes his rehabilitation, his process, we put on his body in three places, dam, meaning you're a sinner. You've committed a terrible crime. You deserve to die. You need kapara. But at the same time we put him down, we build him up. On top of that same location, the ear, the yad, and the regel, the main parts of the body, we also put upon him shemen. We put upon him oil. We build you up. We put you down, but we build you up. We're doicha b'smol, and we're makar b'yamin. And not only do we makar b'yamin, we're makar of you even more. After putting blood, the oil, on the same parts that we put on the blood, we put additional oil, four, on the rosh. We build you up more than what we put you down. This is a consistent thing in Chazal. You always have to be mechabed a person more than the amount that you give musar.
That's why you have a shulah call. You don't go the first 3 days.
First three days. Unless the family. Okay, one last vart to conclude. There are two places in the Torah where we send away birds. We send away birds. I told this to you last year. I'm very fond of this vart. There are two places in the Torah where we send away birds. One in this week's parasha, and where else do we send away birds? In Parashas Kisetze, in Kan Sipar. Why do we send away the mother bird? Out of compassion. We want to take away the chicks or the eggs. We don't want the mother to see its babies, its eggs or chicks being taken in front of the mother. So we have compassion. We send away the mother. The mother should not witness this horrible scene, the death or the acquisition of its offspring. It's an act of compassion. And what is the reward for showing compassion? L'man hitav loch v'harachta yamim. Life, long life. What do we learn in this week's parasha? This week's parasha, do we have compassion on the bird? There's nothing more terrifying than what we do in this week's parasha. You have two birds, the chaverim, they went to yeshiva together, they learned in koilel together, they were best friends, they went to each other's weddings, they danced, and now what do? We take them to with one bird, we murder in the presence of its fellow bird. That itself is frightening, terrifying. And then to make matters worse, think about this. You take the living bird, the survivor, and you dip it. You dip it in the blood of its best friend. You terrorize the bird. Can you imagine this bird needs a psychologist. Needs a psych. This bird is traumatized. How could it possibly be? And then what do? Send away the bird. When the person is sending away the bird, it has to be thinking, didn't I do this once before? Didn't I read an advertisement in some periodical that for only $100 we'll take you out into the field and you will find the mitzvah of Shiluch HaKayin and Kiyukari Kansi Par Lefanecha Baderech? Didn't I do this once before? And why did I do it? It was a skula for a shidduch, for parnasa, for shalom bayis. It was a skula l'man yitav loch v'harach d'yanim. Why? Because you have rachmanas on the bird. You show you're good people. Here, look what I did. I terrorized my fellow bird. I terrorized it by dipping it in the blood of its friend, and I'm sending it away. It should awaken in the person a contradiction, and the message is, yeah, you know what the difference is. Why did you get saras? Because you spoke lashon hara. When you speak lashon hara, what does that bring? That brings death. Hachayim v'hamoves biyad halashon. When it comes to having rachmanis on the mother bird, l'man yitav loch v'harach d'yamim, through speaking lashon hara, you're causing tsar to other people. And just like you caused tsar, you took away the quality of life of someone else. Chayim v'hamoves biyad halashon. So therefore, Musar Haskell, you deserve the opposite. Nida keneged nida. If you're sending away the mother bird, you're going to get arichas yom because you had rachmanis on the mother bird. Here, where you terrorize the bird, you'll get what you deserve. You'll also get the opposite of arichas yom harach tayanim. There's a connection. The connection is to awaken a person. You should be good to another person. You should have rachmanis on another person, and don't cause another person tsar by speaking lashon hara. Okay, have a good Shabbos.